We're going to look in the Word of God today and look at a couple of passages. Luke chapter 17, and then we'll jump back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Luke chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 11. Scripture says, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole.'" Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 7. "For the Lord thy God is bringing you into a good land." This is when the children of Israel were going into the land of promise, going in, leaving bondage and going into the promised land. And God spoke to them. He said, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land that he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein thou was, there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee, that he may prove thee, and do thee good in thy latter end. Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand, has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction here. Father, once again, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is holy, is pure. And Father, we just ask, Lord, as we approach it today, God, as we approach it reverently and humbly, Lord, that you would just guide us and direct us. Lord, that you would receive the glory unto yourself. May we see things in this, Lord, that we can put into practice in our lives. We thank you in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is Thanksgiving, and there's a lot of different scriptures in the Bible that tell us to give thanks to God. The psalmist said it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then in Ephesians, he tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Then he says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto the Lord, unto God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And here we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Paul says, don't forget that when you're into the promised land, when The blessings of God are upon you. Don't forget who gave you those blessings. And this is a time when we pause each year to acknowledge our thankfulness to God. I was reading a week, and there's a list of Thanksgiving quotes by women. And these are some of them. This is, they asked the women, what were they thankful for? They said, we're thankful for dishwashers, automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for the next meal. We're thankful for teenagers. A lot of you are just getting into that stage. We're thankful the teenage years are over, you know, on this side of it. But anyway, it says we're thankful for teenagers because they give us the opportunity to learn a second language. We're thankful for smoke alarms because they let us know when the turkey is done. I like this one. We're thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually mess it up so big it's time to call in the professionals. And then it says, we're thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy to have around. You just hate to see them go back home to their own parents. Because you know as well as I do that normally don't happen in your own house. But anyway, this is a Thanksgiving weekend in Canada and all across our nation. The United States, now they'll have Thanksgiving in November. But Thanksgiving here in Canada, if you read the back of the bulletin today, you get a bit of the history of Canadian Thanksgiving. A lot of times we read about the American side of it, and you know, but it's good to read how come we celebrate it in Canada on this day and different things. But it's a time when we come together and for Thanksgiving, and churches are decorated, and we got a beautiful job done here today for Margaret and those that were involved, Al and Gail and different ones that were involved in this, decorating the church. We appreciate that. And we usually put up a display table so we can, you know, take some things in, and we give this out to needy people. And churches get together and they worship the Lord and they pray and they sing songs about Thanksgiving as we do today. And families get together and we have a big, you know, turkey dinner and all these different things. And we reward ourselves, so to speak, for, you know, the hard labor over the year and things like this. And we thank God for His blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And it's good for us to be able to do that. But it's also, it can be dangerous. Because a lot of times we get to the place that we think Thanksgiving is just for once a year. You know, and it's almost like Christmas. When Christmas is approaching, all of a sudden everybody gets really nice to you. They smile with, you know, and doesn't matter how many times somebody hurt them or something like that, they're extra nice because it's Christmas time. And you know, sometimes you hear them talking on the radio, they say the spirit of Christmas is in the air. And there's an atmosphere that comes with that. And sometimes with Thanksgiving, there's an atmosphere of Thanksgiving and you know, appreciation to each other and our families and our churches and our communities in which we live and all these different things. And these things are good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we, as Christian people, we ought to be living in a spirit of Thanksgiving year-round. And I've entitled the message today, Changing Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving. Make it an everyday part of your life to give thanks to God and thank each other and whatever the case might be. And but God calls us to live a life of thanksgiving constantly. We read the scriptures there. First of all, we read about the 10 lepers, and we read about back in the Old Testament as they're going to the Promised Land. But we also read a couple of scriptures where it says, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. And over in the New Testament, Paul tells us over and over, when you come before God with your prayers, he said, come with thanksgiving. We sang a chorus this morning, enter His gates with thanksgiving. You know, so we need to come before God with thanksgiving constantly in our lives. The 10 lepers, we just read the story there in Luke. The 10 lepers, you need to understand a little bit of the history of what leprosy meant back there. You know what it's like in our day when you hear somebody's got cancer? You know, the doctor tells you you got cancer, that seems like that's the thing that frightens us most. Well, back in Bible days, leprosy was like that. There's no cure for leprosy. Today, they've got, you know, ways to cure it, different things. But back in those days, leprosy was a frightening disease. It was a slow death. You see them on television sometimes, even today, Leprosy Mission of Canada and things like this, and you see people, their fingers are all falling off and their toes and just stumps left on their, you know, for their hands. Their faces all start to sink in and different things. Leprosy starts to eat away in the body. And back in those days, once you had leprosy and you were declared to have leprosy, you weren't even allowed to live with your own family anymore. You had to go outside the city somewhere and live outside, and the family would bring food out to you and just leave it, and you'd come and pick it up and eat the food and different things. And you were just an outcast. And if anybody saw you coming, you weren't allowed to mingle with anyone. You weren't allowed to worship with anyone anymore. You weren't allowed to have any part of any other kind of fellowship. And you were like that for several years until you finally succumbed to the disease and died. So to hear that you had leprosy, it was a fearful thing. And these 10 men, the Bible says, had leprosy, and they were living outside the city. The Bible says they stood afar off. And leprosy in the Scriptures is a symbol of sin as well. When we have sin in our lives, there's a distance that comes between us and God. God says, your sins and your iniquities have separated you from God. He said, I can't hear what you're saying anymore. A lot of times we're praying and say, God, how come you're not answering our prayers? And God says, your sins and your iniquities have stepped in, and I can't hear what you're saying. And so anyway, these 10 men came to Jesus, and they start crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And as Jesus saw them, Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, they understood what that meant. The leper, as he was being cleansed, sometimes, you know, if something happened, they were cleansed, they would have to go to the priest, and the priest would check over their bodies. And if you read back through Deuteronomy and different places, you'll find out how God would tell them how to, you know, check for different diseases in the flesh and things like this. And if, you know, something was happening, this was the problem and all these different things. So he said, go back and show yourself to the priest and offer an offering to God of thanksgiving for your healing. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. And as they were coming into probably Jerusalem to see the priest, as they were getting there, they realized that, you know, as they were getting closer, this fellow was healed, and all of a sudden the leprosy started to leave their body and all these different things. By the time they got there, and the Bible says there was one man out of the 10, once he realized that he was healed, turned around and went back to thank Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and he said, here's one. He said, where's the other 9? Apparently they were all healed, but he said, where's the other 9? He said, there's only one man, he said, left to come back and give thanks. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. Now, there's a number of places in Scripture where Samaritans are mentioned. The boxes they're doing up for Christmas, we call it the Samaritan's Purse. The Samaritans in the Scriptures, before Jesus came on the scene, Samaritans were looked down, and they were the scum of the earth. They were the half-breed Jews, half-breed Gentiles. The Jews hated them, the Gentiles hated them, and they were just in the middle ground, and nobody cared for them. But after Jesus dealt with them, all of a sudden, everybody wants to be a Samaritan now. Because Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan and all these different things. And this man here, the Bible says, came back, and he was a Samaritan. And he did not really have that covenant with God that the rest of the children of Israel had. But yet for all, he recognized that when he received something from God, he came back to give God thanks for his blessing. Then back in the Old Testament, we read back there about Moses as he was leading the children of Israel. And they're coming up close to the Promised Land. And God spoke through Moses. He said, now tell the people this. That when they get into the Promised Land, he said, I'm bringing them into a land, he said, it's got brooks and streams flowing through it. Now, you got to understand, they spent 40 years in a desert. 430 years in Egypt under slave masters. They finally got out of that, and then they, for 40 years, going around a desert, and God just had to feed them with manna that would come down from heaven. And the Bible says they got so sick of it, they start to cry out to God and say, give us something else. And God gave them quail and all these different things. And for 40 years, they were just wandering around, had nothing. And God spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, the children of Israel are about ready to cross over Jordan and go into the Promised Land. And he said, it's a land. He said, it's got brooks flowing through it. He said, there's deep waters. There's all kinds of crops that are growing. He said, there's olives and different things, pomegranates and all these different vegetables and fruits and everything else is growing in the land. He said, it's a rich land. He said, you go into the mountains. He said the stones are made of iron. In other words, there's going to be iron in the stone. He said, you go in and you dig out brass. Now, We would call it copper if you read the original language. He said, in the hills, he said, in the stones, you would dig out copper out of the hills. It's going to be a rich land. And he said, when you get in there, and he said, God starts to bless you. And he said, you're eating your own crops now, and you've got your own land, you're at your own, you know, all the blessings of God. And he said, at that time, he said, you'll give thanksgiving to me. But he said, don't forget. He said, once the blessings start to come there, don't let it become so much that you take it for granted. And think that you've done it yourself, that you're responsible for all these blessings yourself. I've talked to people over the years, and I'm sure you have as well. You talk to people, but you know, well, this is Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God. You know, and a lot of times, we talk about giving thanks, and we say, well, what are you thankful for? And we started naming off all the different things that we're thankful for. But I was thinking about this week, who are we thankful to? I think it's probably a better question. To whom are we thankful? You know, and so here, God's to Moses. When you go in and the blessings start to come upon your life, he said, don't forget who gave you the power to get all this. He said, it is the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. Some people say, well, I did that in my own strength. You know, I'm the one who's got to get up every morning. I got to go out to work. I got to do this. I got to do all these different things. Yes, thank God for that. And I understand that. But we need to understand that God is the one that gives us life. He gives us strength. He gives us breath. He gives us everything that we need. You know, do you realize that the breath you breathe was started by God? The Bible says when God made Adam just on the earth, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And a lot of times, I don't know about you fellows, I probably think things strange sometimes, but I just lie down sometimes in bed at night when I'm just breathing, and start thinking, man, that came from Adam. That came, you know, right back from God. He breathed into us the breath of life. You know, and it's only for that breath to stop, you know, as well as I do, that it's all over. You know, so we need to be thankful, and this is what God was saying to Moses, tell the children of Israel, he said, when they get into the land, he said that they don't forget who it is that gave them the power to get that wealth. It wasn't their own hands. That's what he said. He said, you'll get to the place. And he said, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and statutes, which I command thee this day. And one of the verses, I just can't find it quickly there now. But anyway, he said, one place, he said, you're going to say that I did it by my own hands, of my own might, that I brought this blessing upon myself. God says, don't forget who gave you that strength. Don't forget who gave you that power to get that wealth. So we need to understand that as we are going through life, that God calls us to always give thanksgiving to him. As I mentioned, Paul mentioned over the New Testament, when you come into God's presence, give thanksgiving. When you're coming with your prayers, come with thanksgiving. Everything you do, thank God for it in every day of your life. John the Baptist, one time when he was in prison, the Bible says, and he got kind of discouraged, and he sent back to Jesus, and he said, are you really the fellow that we're looking for? Are you really the Messiah, or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus sent back to John, and he said, tell John, he said, the blind see, the deaf hear, and all these different things. And he said, tell him, he said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. One translation says this way, tell him to look for God in everything. We need to look for God in everything that we're doing, to realize that God's blessing is upon us, and to understand that you know, when we receive something from God, that we are to give thanksgiving for it, like the leper that came at the time. I was reading a thing about Alex Haley. Remember the fellow who wrote the book, or wrote the story, Roots? Years ago, he used to be on television, it was a miniseries one time. He put it this way, he said, this is what the writer says, Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging in his office on the wall. It was a picture of a turtle on a fence post. Now, if you stop and look at that for a while, you realize how odd that looks. A turtle upon a fence post. Someone asked him, he said, what does that picture mean and why is it there? Haley answered, he said, every time I write something significant, and every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, he said, I look at that turtle on the fence post and I remember that he didn't get there by himself. He needed help. And doesn't matter, you know, you can go out and build a big, beautiful house. You can have beautiful cars and yachts and everything else. And you can have beautiful land and all these different things. And you say, well, I did it all by my own strength. Well, that's probably true in the natural. You worked at it and everything else. Realize, like Alex Haley was saying, but the turtle on the fence, well, you never got there by yourself. You needed help to get there. And sometimes we say people, and I've heard people say this, well, he's a self-made man. And by that we mean, you know, well, he's worked his way up through life, and he's, you know, looked after things in himself. He didn't have anybody to bail him out or things like this. And you know, but even in a self-made man, we still have to thank God. Because it's God who gives us the power to get that wealth. It's God that gives us the strength to do that. Remember years ago, there was a story that's come out on the television. Ma and Pa Kittle. Anybody ever look at that? Now some of the younger ones, I haven't got a clue what we're talking about now. This is back when TV was black and white. You know? They did come out black and white at one time. But anyway, Mom, Pa, Kittle. I was looking at some different things on YouTube the week, and just looking at Mom, Pa, Kittle. And sometimes you see, you know, and if you know anything about it, she, although she wore a dress, but she wore the pants in the family. Whatever she said went, you know. And they had, I don't know, must have been 8 or 10 children running around all the time, and they were fighting all the time and different things. And she would go out and she would, you know, those triangles they ring for the dinner bell? And she'd go out and she'd start ringing this, and all the children start coming in, all over, jumping out of the windows and out in the barns and everything else, and all start running towards the house. It was dinner time, you know, lunchtime. And they would all come, and Pa would come in, and they were all rushing for the table. And she would scream out in her loudest voice, "Hold it!" And everything come to a screeching halt. Sounds like some of your homes, doesn't it? Everything come to a screeching halt. And Pa would take his roll his eyes toward heaven, and he'd take his hat, and he said, "Much obliged." Stick his hat back on it and just start opening the ruckus again. It's just right back to the table, you know. But a lot of times we treat God that way. We do it once a year. We say, "Much obliged, God. Now the rest of the year is for me." No, we need to take every day and thank God for his blessings upon us. Turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving. Every day of our lives ought to be a time when we're thanking God for the things that he's done for us. Just one more little illustration here, and I'll finish up. I read this some of the week. It says, Henry Frost served as a missionary for many years to China. In his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. He says, "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. He said, I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission these words, 'Try Thanksgiving.' He said, I did, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return." When you're going through difficult times and you're going through times and you don't know what to do, which way to turn, and it seems like you're praying and it seems like no answer's coming, all these different things, it's time for us to turn towards God and just start to thank Him. The Bible talks about, you know, the psalmist mentions several places. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you gone quiet within me?" You ever wake up some morning like that? I do. You know, some days you just get up late and you can take the world on. You just feel, man, this is going to be a good day. But other times you get up late and, you know, just naturally speaking, there's, you know, everything is not so rosy. And this is what the psalmist is going through. If you read through the Psalms, the book of Psalms, you find out David, you know, over and over, you look, just sometimes you just take the first couple of verses of every psalm. You know, he was start off and he would say, "Why are you cast down?" Next day he's all praising God. Next day he's, you know, because life is like that. You're just up and down. You know, life is not just a bed of roses all the time. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. We're all living in a real world. And the psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you gone quiet within me?" And he went on down talking about different things. And then he said, I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will give praises to him. And the psalmist learned, and if you read down through the passages, you find it, he learned that once you get into a place like that, you get that low down, miserable, lonely, discouraging feeling. Even though you don't feel like it, just start to thank God for his blessings. Just count, you know, remember that song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One"? It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. But a lot of times we take for granted so much that we have, and we turn our eyes upon the negative that the devil's trying to bring into our life sometimes, and we think more about that, and we live a life that's discouraging or frustrating all the time, instead of refocusing and get our eyes upon Jesus again. Get our eyes upon the Lord. And start to thank him for his blessings. And I don't know, maybe you've gone through times, maybe you've had discouraging times this week. You know, we all have good times, bad times, good news, bad news. Last night we were sitting around supper table, and Tracy called, and our middle daughter. And I could tell by her voice she was crying and all shook up and different things. And Silas, the little fellow, they were going to church, and they had something going on last night. They were feeding some homeless people or something. And they're running and they were meeting in a gymnasium, and he ran out and somehow and fell down and broke his arm. And they had a picture of his arm was all bit back this way. And they're on the way to Sarnia, which is about 40 minutes away. They're on the way to Sarnia. She's trying to talk to me on the phone, trying to keep the baby quiet and holding his arm and everything else. And, you know, there's good times and there's bad times. There's good news and bad news, you know. But in the midst of all that, you still got to keep your eyes upon Jesus. And she said, can you pray for him? So we stopped at the table and we prayed for him, and they took him in, and he's doing good today. He got a cast on and different things. But, you know, life is not always going to be a bed of roses. Not everything is going to work perfect all the time. You're living in a world, Jesus said, offenses must come. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be good times. You know, old fellow one time, you say to a young Christian coming in, he's all excited. And he said, hold on. He said, it's not always going to be like that. A couple of days after he came in, his face is all down the ground. He said, hold on. He said, not always going to be like that. You know, there's always it's just fluctuating all the time. But this is where you need to put your eyes upon Jesus. Realize that whatever you have today, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. So whatever you have in your life today, every blessing that you have, your family, your home, your job, the country you live in, the church you attend, the friends that you have, all these things we need to be thanking God for constantly, not just once a year. We need to turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving. Thanksgiving every day. And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see. Bless your name.
with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name.